Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are now tuning in to the Six Man Convo. Let's get it. What's going on, people? What is going on, man? You are now here with the Six Man Convo on a Tuesday night. As you see that we jamming, I am your host, the Six Man K-Style. And to my stage left on the spiritual side of the game right now, to the side of the speed, this Mad Mike Sports is in the building. And we got a special. Oh, what's up?
On the bullshit side, I don't know what the hell's going on.
And we got a special guest with us tonight, man. For those that may not know, hey, my brother, go ahead and introduce yourself, man.
Hey, it's your boy Fresh. You feel me? We in here, man, talking this Falcons football in this draft.
Hey, if y'all don't know, it's your boy Fresh. He was literally in the chat with us yesterday.
Exactly.
So, y'all seen this name before. So he said decided to want to join us and kick it up with us a little bit. So before we go ahead and get this thing started, let's go ahead and hit up this real. Boy, you sound like a bad internet connection right now.
Man, sound like
the
AOL trying to dial up.
That's it. Wow, he threw up. But yeah, man, real roll call, man. So you know how we do it over here, man. The members get the first shout out, and definitely give shouts out to Mr. Adamsville in the building. And we already have a $1.99 super chat from Lee 85. He said, "Hello, you all. Let's get it." So let's go ahead. And get right. You said what?
What?
All right, so let's go ahead and get to
Keep
the
going. Phone. Fuck you, Eric Mac. Fuck you, Walmart. Yeah, Jamal. Fuck you, Southside. Fuck you, therapist. Fuck the therapist. ATL. Fuck you, John St. Clair. Fuck you, Big Ant. Fuck you, Ephraim Jones. Fuck you, Donnell Foster. Fuck you, Pamela Johnson. Nah, I can't do that to you. Trauma Lock, fuck you. Ruben, fuck you. Pat Norris, fuck you. Jerry Boy, fuck you. Joseph Thornton, fuck you. Tony Hall, fuck you. Bubba Gump, fuck you. Yasha Knight, fuck you. Rodney Brown, fuck you. Lee 85, fuck you. Fuck the ball!
Really, nigga? Did you have to do it like that?
Yo.
I thought it was a good remix. You don't like that remix?
You remix the hell out that motherfucker, boy.
He over there listening to that Hitman Holler.
Over there on the finesse two time side of the game.
Man.
But like you said, he said
I got a lot of energy today, y'all. I really do have a lot of energy today. I don't know why, but it's there today.
He been drinking on them cappuccinos all damn day. That's why he got so much fucking energy. But like you said, we appreciate everybody, man. He done roll called everybody up. He didn't do it. He didn't do it the exact way I thought he was gonna do, but yeah. But
it's K-Style show. It's K-Style show from this point on. I'm done.
Yeah, now D. Coleman talking about you need to call Delilah ASAP.
See, the problem happened was, Delilah done me enough.
Nah, we ain't trying to get slapped up around here. All right, so throughout all the foolishness, DJ cut the beat. There you go. So, Fresh, what's going on with you, man? Like I said, how you doing today? How's everybody doing today, by the way? We know Mike's feeling good. He's doped up on caffeine and shit.
A little bit.
Nah, I'm great, lovely to be alive, man. Happy. I'm happy to be here with you guys, man. Talking okay. To these Falcons.
Okay. Hey, man. So, since you are our guest on today's show, I want you to give everybody your thoughts on how the Atlanta Falcons have been during this offseason. Was it to your expectation? Was it above your expectation? Or did they go low? Floor is yours,
my brother. Honestly, it's way above expectations. Like, when is the last time we've seen this team spend this type of money on the defensive side of the ball? And we've been asking for a defense for how long?
10 years, a good 10 years.
Come on, man. You can, and I'm a defensive player, so I'm excited to see some defense come up in here. I'm excited to see some defensive players make a bag, get you some money. Like, come on, man. Like, that's they have exceeded everything. Like, when it comes to this draft, whatever they do, I'm down with it because they have done so much in a short period of time. And then not only that, over the last 2 years, you've gotten us out of cap hell and still kept us afloat. Even though it ain't ended the way a lot of other people have, but it's been progress, period. Like, that's a part of development.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, go ahead, Mike. What are you about to say?
Oh, no, I was disagreeing with him. Just agreeing.
Okay. Now, shut up, phone. I didn't ask for you. My bad. For some, I don't know what it is about these phones, but every time you say a key word, it's bloop. Nigga, what did you say? Like, yeah. What? But yeah, definitely. Like I said, I think it's been above expectations as far as, like you said, how they've been spending their money, how they've been attacking a lot of these prospects, and how they be looking at these guys. For everybody that don't know, it's your boy Fresh. He got a channel of his own. Like I said, y'all make sure y'all go ahead and subscribe to him at the end of this show. Hell, take your time right now to look his name up and subscribe to him. As you already know, my boy did a mock draft yesterday, popped up. And he's kind of on the same boat as a lot of Falcons fans right now, as far as the Falcons in particular. And Mr. Jalen Carter. What do you see about Jalen Carter in a Falcon uniform? Like, what are you picturing right now?
A lot of, for him personally, just a lot of learning and getting that leadership from already the guys in the locker room. And I feel like our biggest leaders are on the defensive line, from Grady, from Calais to Adam Yamada. So putting him in a Falcon uniform just makes it so much easier. And then you got to remember, like, we only got Calais for 1 year. Then you only got Eddie Goldman and you might have from maybe a max of 2 years. Mm-hmm. And you might cut him after that. And then Grady's not going to stay around forever. So you got to get somebody in there to learn from these guys and replace, you know, their production. That way it's just a steady train going and not slowing down. And then we ain't got to figure out how we going to get these players back. You already got him in the process. So putting him in there is just basically, I feel like you're getting maybe a better version of Grady. But he got to put that work in, though. And that's what it comes down to.
And I think you said the key thing, too, is it's a lot of veterans on that defensive front. Like you said, in particular, like guys like Calais Campbell, Grady Jarrett, Lorenzo Carter, These are guys that can help mentor a guy like that. Like I said, we haven't really seen, you know, Jalen Carter have a lot of character issues until this stuff started recently coming up. So I guess for insurance purposes, you bring in those veterans just to keep his mind sane. Cause like I said, if you think about it, as being a kid that's 20, 21 years old and going through the processes of them trying to put murder charges on him and try to do all this stuff right before the biggest time of your life where you about to change your life.
Yeah.
You got to have somebody that you can lean up on and be like, okay, just I'm take you under my wing. Like I said, we going to work you step by step. We know what you can do. So.
Yeah. And I mean, what do you do with a troubled individual? You stick them in a room full of great men. And that's pretty much what we have done. We have created a locker room for anybody to be able to be in and succeed as long as they want to. It's got to have that want in that player too.
Okay. Also. Yeah. What'd you think on that, Mike?
I don't think nothing. Nah, I'm just bullshitting. I think you got to have that one psychotic motherfuckers. Like, I think that's the thing. You got to have balance, man. You got to have a yin and a yang. You can't have too many choir boys, man. You got to have a choir boy that's got a ready pimp slap a motherfucker when it's time to. Like, you got to have that player with that edge. You got to have that player that's like, look, he going to do his job, but he, you know, kind of toes the line a little bit. And I think a guy like Jalen Carter, if you look at how, you know, the media and the national media, and even that piece of shit people down there in Athens, they decide they want to, like, do all this on draft, on Combine Day. These people obviously see him as such. I think you can use that against, because right now, you look at Terry and Arthur, they don't care about being bad guys. They don't care if you like them. They going away and doing things the way they want to do it anyway. So I think they can handle it. And quite frankly, I think if anybody can handle a Jalen Carter, if there were such a thing, if it is true about his quote unquote background or character issues, what better person than Arthur? Arthur don't give a fuck about nobody's feelings. Obviously, he created one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play this game, and he did it without no strings attached. He was like, look, we have a vision, that's what we're gonna do. If you're on board, you're not, you're gone. So I think what better coach to do it than to handle Jalen Carter than Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
Hey, definitely, man, definitely. Let's get into some of these comments. Like I said, Mucho Grundy here said we do have a lot of edge players on this team. Well, last time we've heard that was 2016. My mama over here preaching and shit like.
I told y'all, folks.
Yeah.
That's the upper version. I told y'all, I got several hits on. I got several versions of that. I told you so. All right. I told you guys that they're gonna be focusing on edge. Nobody thought I was. Nobody paid my attention until it started happening. I told you so. How many damn edges that we got on here on this team? Right off the top of your head. No, off the top of your head. Just right off the top.
You got Ozzie Dangy, Renzo Carter. Okay. You got Amicetti, AK. You got Dupree. Oh, Malone. We just said Calais Malone. Just said Calais Campbell.
Hey, no.
Damn, yeah, him too.
Michael Walker.
Shit.
That's a lot of them. Yeah.
Calais Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a lot of them. That's why. That's why even my earlier market was with Will Anderson, because I told people, that the Falcons are going to be focused a lot on the edges. Everybody's like, no, man, we need a defensive tackle. No, well, you can get that in free agency, and they did that. Mm-hmm. Like, defensive tackles you can get, especially when you have a Grady Jarrett right there. Grady is one of the most dominant defensive linemen. You don't need to spend a first-round pick on a defensive tackle to play alongside him. So having a edge with athleticism and athletic gifts, bro, you can do some major problems. You can make do some major damage with that.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So, so they putting a little bit more ammunition in that cannonball, and they ready to damn blast the motherfucker on defense. Like I said, that's like, I think that's what's got everybody excited, because we thinking we may finally get some sacks, we may finally get some turnovers, we might finally get some stops on third downs,
some critical tackles.
He brought it up. I'm telling you, bro. For some reason, every time I hear that word "critical," it makes me cringe, but it makes me laugh at the same time. I ain't never heard it used in such a vile yet funny way. But yeah, man, I like how you're thinking about that. Now, for a lot of those, like I said, Fresh, I'm gonna go ahead and hold on, let me do this right now, because for some reason my phone wanna act a complete ass right now. It should pop up here in a second. So your boy Fresh here did a mock draft yesterday. Like I said, y'all make sure y'all go ahead and subscribe to his channel. It's your boy Fresh 7187. Man, coach, whatever. He talking about you need to stop being so critical.
Coach ain't what he's saying.
See, y'all ain't shit. I told y'all. So you did a mock draft. And like I said, make sure y'all go and subscribe to his channel so y'all can see the whole thing. Mike, I actually got a list of every pick that he made for the first round from the first pick all the way to the last pick. And there was a couple picks on here that intrigued me, and I thought it would intrigue you as well. Yeah, so this is the first one I was intrigued by. You had Jack Campbell getting drafted by the Buffalo Bills. 27th overall.
I feel like with them losing Tremaine Edmonds, they definitely want to go ahead and replace him. And then as much as you guys have talked about him and then going to look at him, I feel like he can slide into the first round at the back end. So I was like, well, you couple those together, and then the type of player he is, and then the type of front that you have in Buffalo, that's just a match made in heaven.
Right.
That was my main objective. Go ahead and strengthen your strength right now.
Okay. What'd you think about that, Mike?
I don't want Buffalo having shit. They can't have
Buffalo. We got a bone to pick with Buffalo. We do. Fuck Buffalo.
I know they took y'all players.
I don't like that. See, they always take my guy. Shit. I don't like that.
How the hell they take Mike's favorite pass rusher in the first place, and then took my favorite pass rusher in the next round?
Yeah, I wasn't too happy about that at all.
They took one of my players, the player, who was it? Is it AJ Espinosa? I wanted him the year he was coming out.
Right.
They end up getting
right.
God damn.
So Buffalo's culture now is they building that defense, and that's something that the Falcons definitely are looking to do. Then you had another one that intrigued me as well. You had Devon Witherspoon falling all the way down to 25 to the Giants.
Yeah, I don't view Witherspoon in the same light as everybody else. Like, from play to the measurables. He just, I feel like Gonzalez is better. I feel like Darius Rush is better. I don't see what the hype is with him. And then when y'all say he reminds y'all of Deontay Robinson, I'm like, every time I think about him knocking himself out, hitting Deshaun Jackson. I'm like, we ain't got time for that. I don't even like when AJ be going in there making tackles. He be down there knocking himself out. Like, bro. And no, I don't need none of that. I don't need my corners hurting themselves. We already went through a whole year of them guys hurting themselves. And then you come to the NFL, these guys are bigger, stronger. Nah. I don't need you kamikaze and trying to tackle somebody. And then you need to be safe yourself. That's brain damage, bro, that you doing to yourself.
Right.
You don't need that. And then also the Giants do need a corner because it came out that they don't know if they're going to keep Adoree Jackson. And then who you have on the other side of Adoree Jackson? So what, like, they, I felt like BPA just played perfectly for them. Oh, this is the best player right here. So boom, let's go ahead and grab him. And you ain't got to worry about whether or not you ain't going to have your number one corner. You just got to pick you up a number two dude. If you got some good scouts and your front office know what they doing, y'all can pick up another one later on.
Okay. Yeah. That's all the picks we're going to use here. So if you want to see the whole mock draft, you better hit that channel up right there. You say you got a couple folks that they already subscribed to you, man. So
appreciate that.
Paul Garul said, we watched Philly rotate their D-line often last year to keep them fresh. We have the ability to play so many different fronts. We will see in rotation. Yeah, man. Hey, shoot. The fresher the bodies, the more damage they can do late in the season. Yep. And that's exactly what you want.
And lessens injury.
Mm-hmm. But I thought I wanted to give that a little highlight right then and there, man. Like I said, I want to show my boy here some love, cause I'm gonna tell y'all a secret too. A few of the prospects that, like, I've been talking about were actually suggested by Fresh right here. So, like I said, he's been helping me out too. You know, I had to throw you some love on that, man.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, when you like them other motherfuckers that be still in touch.
I knew Mike was going to say something.
I knew it was coming. You see the train on alley-oop, didn't you?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, so that's why I said it. Like I said, we want to show love to everybody. We want to show love to people. But let's go ahead and get to the main topic tonight. The main topic is should or could the Atlanta Falcons trade back from the 8th overall pick? Damn it, I wish I'd have put a banner on there. Let me go ahead and put this on here so y'all gonna hear piping in the background.
Hello. I appreciate that, y'all.
Hey, man, shoot. Hey, these people, hey, you know, you've been watching us for a while. You know these folks over here gonna show you some love now.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching. You know, Mike, you know, they used to be out front in the rain. Ranting. I was like, exactly. Man, you do know it's raining outside. Black people don't be in the weather. You that mad?
Right. Exactly.
Dedication, bro. Dedication. They don't know about dedication.
Right. So it's been reports going out and speaking on the Falcons. Well, first of all, if anybody watched the presser from earlier today with Fontenot and Arthur Smith and them getting bombarded with questions about the draft, and basically what they said was, well, they told, I forgot who asked him, but it sounded like D-Leg goofy ass, but he basically said, we looking to trade up, we looking to trade down, we looking to stay where we at. But the thing is, we're not going to reach.
That mean one thing to me.
We don't know.
Never gonna get it. That's what that means. Falcons fans, we ain't never gonna get what the hell they got going on. We ain't never gonna get it.
They ain't telling nobody nothing.
And that's the way it's supposed to be.
Right. But like you said, it's been reports that the Falcons may be looking to possibly trade down out of that A spot. I know a lot of the fans are kind of looking forward to them picking at that spot because it's a lot of those top name guys right there. It's what we've been looking at. Well, majority of us been talking about for the last 2 months about picking certain guys here and there. But Mike always says something in particular, and I know he said, giving away the secret, but the secret is you have to follow the money trail. Right. And if you look at where their cap situation is now after the Casey Hayward cut, I think they said they're going right around $13 million now. So you still barely have enough to pay for your draft class, and you're not going to really have much afterwards. So they're taking this into account as far as if we trade back, now the value of our draft goes down, and that gives us more cap flexibility to hold on to for this year.
And sign some of the undrafted free agents.
Oh, that's the part I'm waiting on, boy. Them undrafted free agents.
That's my favorite part.
Exactly. That's my favorite part. Getting the guys nobody talks about, then you seeing them shine.
Yeah. Like
please don't go.
We really have to do that. We don't have to do that.
Hey, you the first guy that came on camera and tried that shit. Hey,
he said we don't gotta do that.
Hey man, shout out to Dre Harrison for the $5 super chat. He said, what's your guys' opinion on Tyler Scott from Cincinnati in the third? Dan can reunite with a deep threat from his time in college. Like I said, Tyler Scott, as with a lot of the wide receivers in this year's draft, are deep threats like a motherfucker, bro. I think this is the first draft where I've seen so many wide receivers that are deep threats and so many running backs that are versatile. It's like, you really can't go wrong with neither one. Now, the theme is recently is reuniting these quarterbacks with receivers that they're familiar with. And Tyler Scott definitely can't fit that bill. Because they got Scotty Miller for 1 year, so I don't know what they're going to plan, what their plans for him after this year. But I could definitely see it. Tyler Scott kind of reminds me of Taylor Gabriel in a way. When you got big wide receivers, you need some little guys to take the top off the defense. And he's definitely one of those. What y'all think on that? What y'all think on him?
I definitely will. I think, honestly, a lot of these receivers ain't going to start going until the third. So he might honestly even be there in the fourth if you really would want him. At the top of the fourth, though, you'll have to get him at the top of the fourth. And you can't beat chemistry. He already knows how Desmond likes to throw the ball. They know each other. So you can't never beat that.
Right. Hold on. Let me go ahead and do a little bit more research on here. I had this set up. So right here, Mr. Chuck here said the draft class only needs 7 million. Well, according to sportstrack.com, the 7 million is just going to be for the first three picks. Their guy account for another 3 to 4 million.
Chuck thought he was smart by typing that too. He probably researched that all day. Still
got wrong. He probably tried to hurry up and put it in the chat before anybody like that.
That's for the first three rounds, bro. That's not enough.
It shows you the cap hits, the base salary, and the signing bonuses. So yeah, it's pretty much gonna say it's projected. So it may not be 10, it may be 9, it may be it like I said, but they're going around that 10 basically.
Yeah. Will it? Sorry, stuttering. All right, 7 million only for the first three picks. So does it matter where they pick at? It's just 7 million.
It depends on where you pick at, because usually in that top 10 range, that's usually where the most money is going to be at.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really base it off of like the position itself, but the pick has a set salary. It has a set amount of money that goes into it. So if I use, okay, hold on. Let me do it like this. I'm gonna do it like this a little better. Let's see. Who's picking at? Let me see. Let me see if I can throw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in here for it. No. Fuck them. I get rat's ass what they got. All right, so if I use the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, so it's pretty much the same. But it's going to be, it's pretty much the damn same. I'm trying to find somebody. Well, you know what? Damn that. We're going to use the, who's late in the first? Okay, we're going to use the Jets. Not the Jets, but the Giants. God damn it. I'm sorry, y'all. I thought I had this set up right, and my phone started acting up, so I had to redo it all over again. God damn, them motherfuckers cost the same, but them dudes got like 13 picks this year. The Giants, they got 13 picks this year.
Yeah, they're going to be loading up.
Mm-hmm. But like you said, when you go to like round pick 25, like you said, the signing bonus for that pick is right around 1.8 million. And it's very different from the 3.5 million you would be at 8. Gotcha. So based on where you are in the draft is the cheaper you go. Cause I think last year the Kansas City Chiefs draft class cost them like 6 million last year. Because it depends on where you are, right? And everybody that just now joined in the stream, we definitely appreciate it. I want to say y'all definitely make sure y'all go ahead and hit that like button. Make sure y'all hit that subscribe button. Subscribe, nigga. Okay, somebody said Philadelphia Eagles. Let's go ahead. And like I said, these are just projections, so. Okay, so at the 30th pick, yeah, they'll go for about 2.2 million with the 30th pick. So if you take away that 10th overall pick, the Philadelphia Eagles will be paying about 6 million for their draft class. So that's one of the benefits of actually being one of the top teams in the league is the motherfuckers you draft are going to be cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Which prevents the lower teams from continuously having to tank every year. That's what that prevents.
Right. I'd be Well, I'd be damned if I gotta be sitting around here talking about some damn tanking, bro. Mm. That's the worst. That's one of the worst mindsets.
I think Cleveland is, well, Cleveland, I do know that the Saints tried to do it a couple times. Like, they were losing on purpose. They wasn't even trying to spend money. The Falcons, they wasn't trying to retain people. They wasn't tanking.
They were just losing.
No, they were losing that, and they were tanking on purpose, and it didn't work with them. It didn't work with them.
You're right. Right, it like I said, it don't ever work, bro. I'm just
tanking in football. It really doesn't work.
But like you said, it's a possibility. Like you said, they because what it is you want to go into the season with money. You don't want to go into the season not having any money because anything can damn happen. So these are the kind of strategical games that Fontenot has to play here, because you don't want to be in a situation where you got to go into a season. Now you got to think about restructuring somebody's contract to make money room so you can have room to sign folks just in case somebody get damn hurt.
Yeah.
Brian Peoples, Nathan Floyd, appreciate y'all tuning in. Josh, JB,
what's good, y'all?
Let's see, Horace Miller, what's going on? Appreciate y'all tuning in, man. St. Louis Dirty Bird. Okay. I had the phone swear for a second because I about there forgot where the hell I was for a second. I want to hit this question, and I want to give a shout out to Nathan Floyd for this question. He actually hit me up with this. I'm gonna go ahead and put it on the screen because I told him we were gonna talk about it. I don't know if y'all can see that shit, but if y'all can't see it, I'm gonna read it to you. Hold on, let me see if I can get these comments out the way. See, he basically asked, do you think Malone will be the weak side linebacker? Looking at Sports Track, and he is listed as a linebacker like Anderson, not outside linebacker or DN. I know he's being compared to Michael Boley based on his combine, ability to rush the passer, and some comfortability. Just a thought. So I don't know if one of y'all want to go ahead and hit that up right quick. So what do you feel about D'Angelo Malone possibly being, like you said, weak side linebacker?
Mike, let me pat you on the back real quick.
Of course.
Yeah, I said that earlier this year that don't be surprised that you see him lined up at middle linebacker, because he played quite a few snaps in place of that damn Michael Walker, because he was so damn bad in coverage. So they used him at the middle linebacker, at the Mike position. Not a whole lot, but he did see quite a few snaps there. So I tell people, in this defense with Ryan Nielsen, he has to have guys that have the ability to rush the passer and blitz those gaps. That's why you got so many DBs. That's why you got so many safeties that play like cornerbacks who play like safeties, and safeties that have range. Richie Grant, he can play in the slot. Jesse Bates can play both safety positions, and he can play in the slot. So you got those guys in there because so they can take up and fill those holes where the linebackers might lack. And then, like you said, at the end of the day, for Malone, all he has to do is be physical and get after the quarterback.
I think, you know, having him be able to play that spot is just a luxury. you know, having him be able to play so many different spots. Actually, all the players play so many spots. It's a luxury for us because now when we go to like the draft and off season, we don't have to aim for a top guy or, you know, just continuously bring in guys to develop and everything like that. And you got a guy already who can do these things and show other people how to do these things. It just works wonders when you got players who can do multiple things in your on your roster. So I think it'll be a fine.
I love it. I mean, like I said, you said the way that they're trying to set this up, like you said, and Michael Boley being a comparison, sound like D-Block may be back on the block. They may be back beating on the block now.
Hey, we need it. We need it.
I'm about to say, boy, we sitting over here with the Amber Rose, Suki Honda, Slut Walk defense for so long, bro. We need that D-Block defense back.
Boy, I ain't seen so many hoes in all my life.
Boy, $40, they let you run through them. That's how bad that defense was. But, yeah, man.
Let's talk about hoes.
But he said something there too. And I made a mention to it. I don't know if it was Monday, but I think I made a mention about it last week. It's interesting that they got D. Alford listed as a safety. It's very intriguing to me.
I wonder who said that too.
Oh my goodness, Mike.
Hey. What you want everybody to bend the knee? That's what everybody go ahead and bend. Everybody bend the knee.
Yeah, bend the knee to royalty.
Look, what'd you say? He is, yes, wise man.
Yes. Yes, sir, master.
Yes, wise man. Yeah,
but like you said, he's been right. He's been hitting on it. He's been right though. So you had to give him credit where credit is due. And William Amy asked, how much rookie contracts at like $10 million is guaranteed? Well, where the Falcons are at right now, usually the signing bonuses are really the guarantees here. So at the 8th pick, the signing bonus is gonna be at $3.5 million. The 2nd pick, $844,000. Third pick, $296,000. Fourth round pick, well, 110 and 113 is going to be 219 and 215 respectively. 7th round pick is $31,000. So that's how they splitting it up.
Mm-hmm. And you just combine the base salary.
Mm-hmm. The base salary is going to be about $750,000 for each. So, Josh says we need a big hitter at safety.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Dad, you can stay healthy.
Do you really think?
I don't think so. I mean, you need a big hitting safety if you don't have a defensive front.
I see where he's coming from.
You're doing too much hitting, to be honest.
Right. Because essentially, where everybody starts talking about this being a passing league and stuff like that, usually your big hitters don't really cover well, especially if they're looking to hit. Right. Now, you got some that can kind of do both, but in today's NFL, it's kind of not necessary to have one. It's a luxury to have one. it just depends. It depends. Now, if you're talking about picking one up in the draft, there's a couple out there, but one of my favorite ones. He hurt right now, so it's going to be a while before he be able to recover. Ray Fitty said Jamie Robinson out of Florida State. Yeah. Yeah, he's one of them Bob Sanders type of safety where he's small as hell, but he would hit your ass like a Mack truck.
Oh yeah.
D. Coleman said, "Where's Eric Harris?" Eric Harris is a free agent right now. I don't think they've decided what they want to do with that yet. 9 times 10, he probably may be back on another 1 year deal.
But as if anybody picked him up.
And Nathan Floyd. Alex, y'all both read my mind. Hey, y'all done read my mind on the safety I was talking about, Mr. J.L. Skinner. Motherfucker, 6'4", 220 pounds of nothing but sure hit power. But he got hurt. So I don't know where his draft stock is going to be. But, you got anything else you want to talk about? We can hit straight to the Q&As after this. Y'all got anything else y'all want to speak on about this subject? Or y'all want to just hit straight Q&A after this?
I think. Go ahead, Mike. I was going to say we can get to the Q&A. Would you?
I guess he got none.
I'm up. I'm looking at the updates with this damn Hawks game. That's all. I just want to see if little sorry ass John Collins got more than 5 points.
Oh my God! Don't hold on. Let's see.
Somebody in the chat said he ain't 10.
Motherfucker got one rebound. That's good enough. Damn. How the hell you had 10 points on one rebound? You a power forward.
He's a power guard. That's what he is, bro. He ain't no power forward. He a power guard.
A power guard. Damn, K-Town. Not a power guard.
Oh, Lord. Shout out the Game Bread Monk with the $2 soup chat. Said, big hitters don't last long. William Moore, Keanu Neal. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah. Man. They really don't. That's why I usually see a lot of the big hitters usually like around year 4, year 5, they start to kind of tone down on hitting like that a little bit because it takes a whole lot out of you.
Yeah, every time
they get a lot of penalties too. They get a lot of penalties in the NFL too, them big hitters. So.
Yeah, you can't hit nobody like you used to.
Nope.
Falcons have been the victims of plenty of those calls.
You're fine.
Oh, hey, look, hey, Fresh. Look, Lil Nathan said, doesn't that look familiar?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I told you he's a crackhead, dummy. I don't want that damn nut on my thing.
Exactly. And that's why he slid in mine. Like, man, don't nobody got time for you to be out there concussion time,
knock
bro.
Damn self out. He trying to knock himself out.
You said he out there hitting like he trying to prove a point where he don't need to. I got a question for all the Falcon fans. I know y'all remember Dante Robinson. How many times have y'all looked at y'all TV screens and looked like, God damn, dude, calm down.
He did. Yeah. I said, yeah, that motherfucker did. He ain't getting up.
He used to excite me when he did that, but then after a minute, it's like, bruh, I know you ain't okay doing this. Like, I know your head got to be hurting after constantly. Bruh, you are not a Ram. What are you doing?
Exactly.
Not a Ram. Damn.
Exactly. Trick 654 says, do we draft a wide receiver this year?
I think so. In the fourth. earliest before. Is the third.
Who do you have in mind as far as Falcons wide receiver? Is there anybody you've been particular on?
Some guys, Cedric Tillman from Tennessee.
Okay.
You guys had mentioned him, Charlie Jones, Purdue. Okay. I seen his ass shake up Joey Porter Jr. I was like, yeah, he gotta go on my list. Go ahead and bring him over here.
Okay.
One other, I forgot his name. He plays for Penn State. I forgot his name though.
Parker Washington.
No, it's the other guy.
He's a little smaller. Hold on, let me bring out the list of names. Cause I got a website. They just got a list of names, so I just say list of names. You said wide receiver out of Penn State. Let me see where we at.
Why do I know who this guy is? Yeah. And it's just at the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, cause I see
Parker, Michael Tisdale.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Hold on, you got it in here. Michael Tinsley. Oh, okay, Michael Tinsley. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know that one. Okay, I gotta check him out. So what makes you say Tinsley, man? What do you think he could bring as far as what you've seen?
I just like the grittiness of him.
Okay.
And then I was more so when I was looking for receivers, I was looking for somebody who can play in the slot more so than anything, because I felt like we was going to keep bigger guys on the outside, especially for the run game. So somebody who can get in that slot, be tough and gritty, and can have for sure hands and know how to run more than just one freaking route.
Okay.
And I think he kind of exercised that. But since we end up getting we're traded for Jonnu Smith, I was like, well, shoot.
Yeah, it's a possibility he still be there. Still a possibility. Yeah, I don't know too much about him, but I'm going to definitely go ahead and check him out. Mike, you got a wide receiver in mind? Kind of going back to that question.
I ain't did shit in about a whole 2-3 weeks on draft.
Man,
I ain't gonna lie to
man,
you.
Just make up a receiver. I can make up one.
My honky from Georgia, but he ain't coming out. I mean, damn.
I want him too.
I'm sorry I said that. God damn it.
God damn it, Mike.
I'm so sorry. That slipped out. I'm not even gonna say his name because everybody gonna figure out who I'm talking about.
I'm gonna say he talking about Ladd McConkey. He coming out in 2020 voting.
I was praying he was coming out this year. I was like, okay. I want him.
I'm sorry, y'all. That's what I call him. That's what I call him in the chat.
it's not
a bad thing at all. I call him, that's my dude, but his name just made it so easy, so I was just like, let's go with it.
Yeah, fuck it, hey, whatever.
But yeah, that's my dude. I love that, bro.
Hey,
that dude, you can use him on AT Perry. No, that man. Look, that dude weigh about 20 pounds.
About
man.
A buck. You got six, a buck 75. I like, for me, the ideal wide receiver would be Jonathan Mingo. It's like when you look at these Ole Miss receivers that have been coming out the last 4-5 years. They all look the damn same. They big as hell. And they fast.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Like I said, Jonathan Mingo is like if you look at him, I would say, it's the game against LSU. It's a couple games. It's games against LSU, and I think it was a game against Tennessee. And what you're gonna see out of him is he's essentially one of those wide receivers. Like, this is what we talk about with Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith. A lot of these guys like this, like Desmond Ridder. Main thing is they want him to attack the middle of the field. And what happened? What do you do when you attack the middle field? Slants and dig routes. And Mingo is big enough to where he can shield defenders off of him during those slants and dig routes.
Man,
and them hands.
My bad.
Go ahead. You good.
Nah, it's a guy that I was watching earlier, and I forgot to make the video on it, but Nathan Dale from Houston and wide receiver. Dude, just super explosive. You can use him in a number of ways. You can use him with those reverses, and I told you again with the Falcons, Arthur likes to use his wide receivers and his backs, especially his wide receiver, the fast wide receivers, and those motions and whatnot. And you start to see that towards the end with Desmond Ridder at quarterback versus that dude. I'll just say that dude name. But yeah, you kind of saw that. But Nathan Dale just has that it factor. Just like when the ball is in his hands, he makes plays. Like, he's not a particularly big guy, but he's one of those versatile guys. Just look at him. He's always open, and he's always making that big play. But yeah, I like Nathaniel Hill is a guy that I'm watching too.
Kind of reminds me of Deshaun Jackson a little bit. He's a little smaller.
Yeah, he does.
Jackson. I'm still trying to figure out why the hell they call him Tank. That motherfucker look like he built out of tissue paper. But he fast as hell, bro. But shit, like I said, after seeing Ryan Garcia get his ass knocked out by a damn Tank that small as hell, like I said, I'm not going to goddamn talk shit about that. But that fight was hell, boy. I ain't even see all the fight. I had to go and rewatch some of them punches, boy. I like, Jesus Christ.
He was tearing that meat session up, boy.
Right. That mother like, I don't think I'm gonna do this no more.
Probably almost shit on himself after that last punch. That's why he didn't get up. He's like, oh, gotta keep the cheeks clenched. Wait a minute. That turtle head.
Wait a minute. He said he gotta pinch it. He gotta pinch it before it come out.
Man, you see, he wanted to get up. He was like, nah, ref, I gotta go to the bathroom first.
Exactly. That's exactly what probably happened. Damn, Michael Wilson is a bigger wide receiver than I thought he was. I see. I ain't know anything about him. Okay, I'm gonna have to take some more look at him. Shouts out to who said Michael? J. Diaz said Michael Wilson. Yeah, I'm gonna take a look at him. I haven't really seen him, but you can gave me some homework on. All right, man. Where the questions at, man? If we ain't got no more questions, we gonna hit one of these final topics right here that we got, because somebody done sent us a question early in the show. I don't know if he's still in here. Alex said he likes Marvin Mims more.
That's what his offense is based on. You know, what wide receivers is running after the catch. That's why they use Demir Bird, because his yak ability. Like, he wasn't the best deep threat. But he was good with those yak guards. You just get the ball in his hands, especially in a slant or across the run, he can take that mother to the house.
Right. Like I said, he's definitely fast. I could definitely see him. I actually wouldn't mind that, because like you said, you're not necessarily looking for him to be physical. You're looking for him to do his job, and that's clear it out for the big guys. And if he clear it out for the big guys long enough, that deep post route gonna be wide open.
And another thing too, with the West Coast offense, you don't have to have the ability to separate. With the West Coast, they create the separation with the running game and the, a lot of they those pick plays. So you don't have to have the ability to separate in the West Coast offense. The offense designed for space anyway. All you have to do is really just in this offense, catch the ball, run, know how to run a slant, and I'm positive that everybody in this damn league can run a damn slant. So run the slant, catch the ball, run after the kid. That's what the West Coast offense is prime. Their offense is pretty much based on, especially at the wide receiver, just yak yards and the ability to run after the kid.
J-Rock, what's going on, man? Jay, we got Mr. J-Rock in the building.
Lord of the Discord.
You already know. It's kind of funny because Noah thought your ass was J-Rock for a second before he came.
No, he kind of do look like J-Rock. I ain't gonna lie.
Exactly. Now, J-Rock, that's one of my... motherfucker, that's why we said.
Y'all do kind of remember a bit.
Yeah, y'all do kind of. But like I say, J-Rock, he's one of the pillars of what we do around here. So y'all definitely show J-Rock some love as well as Jew Talk Sports in the building. If y'all haven't said what's up, y'all make sure y'all show them some love. So D Coleman says, do we draft a defensive tackle, nose tackle before day three?
Yeah.
Day three. So, I can see that. Then again, I say no, because nobody's really paying attention to Timmy Horn. Everybody's forgetting Timmy Horn there too. So I say no with that. Nobody talking about Timmy Horn, bro. He played well towards the end of the year.
Okay. What'd you think, Fresh?
Now that Mike said something, you already been added talent from the free agency. So now that just keeps him fresh and keeps him going. And now he has even more people to learn from. So that can only just make him better.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do. Only just for the simple fact that a lot of your defensive linemen are on those 1-year deals. Like I said, we don't know what the future plan will be for them. I could see them doing it. Like I said, if they don't go with Jalen Carter in the first round, like I said, you got multiple options out here, especially if you talk about one text, zero text out here. Like you said, you got a Motsi Smith, which we know they ain't really talked to like that. Like I said, Keanu Benton's another one. Who was the one they was talking to? Yeah, but I think it was Byron Young. I think that was another one that they were kind of real keen on right now as well. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. Siaga Ika, hell no.
Oh, we also don't know how Taekwon
goes. That's a curse word. That's a curse word with K-Style.
I wouldn't say it's a curse word, but like you said, the problem is
the boy too damn fat. That's what it is. Lose some of that weight and you be all right.
Yeah, cause like I said, if he like I know they said right now, like if he would have stayed around that 340 range, he'd be okay, but they said he ballooned up to like 365, 370 or some shit like that.
Damn, you one hamburger away from being out the league already. You ain't even got to the league yet.
Damn.
But the thing with him, and the reason why I say hell no, like you said, the issue with him right now is, like I said, he really only good for maybe like 20 snaps a game. And if you're trying to spend a second round pick on a guy that's good for only 20 snaps a game, hell, that's why you brought in the damn old guys we brought in now.
I would take him if it's on a day, he's a day three pick, I would take him.
Now, if you're talking about like fourth round, fifth round, that's another thing.
Yeah.
But everybody's got Siakam. He said what?
Yeah, I said, he has potential, but like I said, he's going to stay off them hamburgers, bro. You need to leave that hamburger helper alone.
You going, who is it? Eddie Lacy yourself.
Remember, Vita Vea ain't been the same since Dominican Sue left.
Mm-hmm. You got to be real careful with them nose type of like that.
Mm-hmm. But Noah ain't shit. He said that bro is a. He said his ass is an Xbox.
Damn.
Wow. Not an Xbox.
Not an Xbox. But hey, man, there's one more topic we want to talk about tonight. I thought this was very interesting. This was brought up by one of the folks that was in the chat earlier. Hold on, let me see something, man. Hopefully y'all hit that, the 88 people that's in here, I definitely hope y'all hit that like button, man. Like I said, we gotta get this thing to about 50 before this show ends. Let's go ahead and do a quick check. Y'all mind if I do a quick check, do you?
Go ahead.
Let's go ahead and do that quick check right quick.
This motherfucker still got one rebound and all. I'm so fucking tired of this bum ass motherfucker.
Okay, you
7 foot tall and you got one rebound and about to be four quarters. How the hell is that possible?
Oh wow.
He ain't applying himself.
So he's 6'14". 3 of 8 from 3-4.
Okay, we can get to this question because once Mike starts getting stuttering like that, an incoming rant coming soon when he starts stuttering like that.
Unleash.
My God. So Rodney Brown asked this question earlier. I don't know if he's still watching. If he is, definitely shouts out to him. So he asked, why do you think so many of the players are leaving the University of Colorado and entering the transfer portal after the spring game?
Oh, that's easy. They don't want to work.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Because Deion came in and put that structure in there, and ain't nobody really feeling that. A lot of them players probably came there thinking like, oh, well, I've been starting, I've been playing up until now. He comes in, change things. I don't want to do all that. I'm going to just go somewhere where they just going to let me play and be me. A lot of people don't like to, you know, stay disciplined. He's teaching you guys just more than the game. And a lot of them players probably don't want to hear that.
So do you think it's because it resonated with Jackson State and you know those players got a bigger hill to climb as far as being from a smaller school that they willing to gravitate towards that? So do you think that with him going to the big league and you got the Power 5 school looking at him like, the player looking at him like, who the hell is you? And you know what I got to say to that? That's why y'all asses want that. That's why y'all asses ain't been relevant since 2005. Think about that.
I think it's precisely a lot of them too.
A lot of them too. A lot of those players too. especially when you've been gifted or perceived to be gifted, you come in as a 4-star, 5-star, you kind of get complacent. Everybody tell you how good of an athlete or how great you're going to be and all this type of stuff. And then you end up going to especially a coach like a Kirby. Kirby don't give a damn about you being a 5-star. Deion don't give a damn about you being a 5-star. You're going to work for those guys. And that's the same thing with a guy like Nick Saban. You're going to work with those guys. So a lot of them, like I said, and they go from high school for seeing preferential treatment, and then you get to college, you don't get that. So they don't want to work. Like I said, it's real simple. It's the same thing, you know, I like, to be honest, it's almost like a Bear Williams, who ended up transferring from University of Georgia. He got his championship, so he's like, fuck this. I got my championship. I need to get me some money. So he's not even thinking about staying at Georgia and continuously working hard and becoming a great player. That's not even on his mind right now. He's focused on how many NIL deals I can get. I can go to another school and be the guy, the center of attention. A lot of you players are just spoiled.
I think with these NIL deals, I think that's going to get just worse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Why you say that, man? Go ahead and speak on that. Let's speak on that.
Well, if you think about it, a lot of these players are playing, they trying to get to the money. Majority of them don't care about school. They don't care about nothing else but trying to get to the league. Now that you can get to school and make money and play, yo, where's the real effort and drive at? If your only purpose is that money, then that's just gonna be your dream gonna be short lived.
No, look, yeah. I mean, I'm happy for them to get paid, because Lord have mercy, them like as much money as these schools been making on these kids, man, it's a damn shame. And I'm glad that they actually getting the opportunity to get money on likeness, name, and licensing. Well, what is it? Name, image, and likeness. I guess that's what they're calling it. But kind of speaking back on the Deion thing, yeah, I kind of agree with both of y'all, man. It comes down to a respect factor. Who wouldn't want to learn from one of the greatest to ever do it?
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
I mean, like you said, it's gonna, like I said, he has a certain way that he's gonna do it. I kind of found it interesting that the very first meeting he had with the team was he told the players, y'all might as well hit the transfer portal because we about to change things around here. And I thought that kind of resonated with me a little bit. It's like, why the hell would you have to tell somebody like that unless these guys really ain't about what they not really about trying to better themselves, not only on the field but off the field. And like I said, Deion has a track record of helping kids on the field and off the field make better choices. I mean, look, man, shoot, they said the damn Colorado, they said the profits from the spring game, the profits went up 700% from the previous year. So now you're getting more attention now than y'all ever had, that y'all haven't had since Cordell Stewart and Michael Westbrook. And I think it's a damn shame, man. Like I said, if you want to be the best, you're going to have to learn from the best. And sometimes learning from the best, they're gonna put you in a standard that's going to be greater than what you can handle. But the thing about it is, he's doing it to test their character.
Yeah.
And like you said, these guys already been jumped ship. And they're like, man, this motherfucker got me doing push-ups. Nah, motherfuck that. I'm going somewhere else. I wanna do control ups.
Man, they better get used to it, cause you can't do that when you make it to the league.
Right.
What you gonna, that coach tell you to do something, you gonna tell him no? Nah. Okay. You'll be cut and you'll be out of money. Fine, cut and all that. And then right. That's just gonna make your name bad around league circles. Mm-hmm. And then ain't nobody gonna wanna sign you.
Right. Oh Lord. Well, Michael Walker said, oh Lord, don't, you know what? I'm telling you, John Collins out here shooting threes again.
Well, they still in it though. They still in it. They fighting. That's all.
Oh, I ain't worried about them fighting, but oh yeah, because they only down by 6. So yeah, they still in it. But damn it, bro, you trying to shoot as many threes as Trey is. And that's not supposed to be your game.
Right.
And you still, and Trae Young still got more rebounds than you.
And he a point guard.
He a point guard, bro.
Yeah, Jude, like Jude here says, Coach Prime doesn't accept mediocrity.
I have a motto here at Atlanta Falcons Nation. I say, you're not going to embarrass me. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to do your homework. You're going to have to step your game up. We demand excellence. You're not going to come in and embarrass me. You're not going to embarrass Maggie. You're not going to embarrass K-Style. You're going to come on and do your homework. We don't allow people to come on here and talk crazy.
So, hey man, let's go ahead and wind it down for the night, man. Like you said, definitely be on the lookout. Might have What's the Word, Dirty Bird coming on tomorrow with Jew Talk Sports.
Ooh, yeah.
Hey, y'all make sure y'all tune in with us on draft night, man. We about to kick it off a little something, man. And, you know, we about to have a little bit of fun. We're going to crack some jokes. And I know when I say crack jokes, I know Devon going to be the very first one in here because he's been for that smoke.
Yeah.
And like I said, Fresh, if you want to kick it with us on draft night, like I said, man, you just let me know and I'll let you know.
Actually, y'all guys helped me write off a thing on my bucket list. I didn't came on here with you guys, actually. I had on. I've been watching y'all. Y'all actually are like, shoot, one of my TV shows. When y'all ain't on, hey, I be scrambling to find something to watch. I don't watch. Like, man, TV is horrible. TV has gotten really horrible. So, watching y'all, learning football, you know what I'm saying, hearing good conversation, I'm always here for it.
Hey, man, definitely appreciate that, man. Like I said, we always say it right there, man. We ain't nothing without the people that watch us, man. And I don't like calling people fans. Like I said, we all family at the end of the day.
Oh, I got a quick question, actually.
Oh, what's up?
How do y'all think the locker room is over there for the Jets?
It's a mess. I'm going to be honest. I think it's a mess.
It's going to be some bullshit. I already know. We already know Aaron Rodgers' tendency. He going to blame everybody but him, but his damn self.
Yeah.
Do you think him going over there is going to make Zach Wilson that worse player?
No. Aaron Rodgers don't teach nobody shit. Somebody
asked that question earlier too. I forgot who it was. I meant the damn star, but I forgot the question. But yeah, man, Zach Wilson gonna want out because he's a priss. He a bougie priss too, and you can't have both of them in your quarterback room now. Somebody.
They're gonna be throwing shoelaces and lipstick all over the place.
Throwing headbands. They're gonna be throwing razors. And lifestyle kind of, like, you know, goddamn Zach Wilson's probably gonna fuck his mama if he piss him off.
Whoa, wow, K-Style. Wow.
Or Aaron gonna fuck his mama.
She probably throw it back on that shit, probably.
Throw that ass in a circle. Oh, boy. I'm gonna tell
you, so it's like I said, do you think the Jets are gonna make the playoffs? I mean, they got a better chance now with Aaron Rodgers.
Hell no, nah, they ain't making
it. But the thing about it is, that great, but that New York pressure is a whole lot different than it is in Green Bay now.
Yeah,
he ain't ready for New York.
Yeah. You don't win immediately in New York, your ass is in trouble.
Exactly. And
they said the Jets, to blame.
Exactly. And they said the Jets. They said the Jets is taking the money. They picking up the money that he just got guaranteed. Oh,
Lord,
yeah.
Have mercy, Jesus.
They about to ruin their team even more.
Exactly. And this is why we always say, just because you draft a quarterback in the first round does not guarantee automatic success without a progression plan. And this is why Malik Willis in Tennessee is going down the road he's going now, because the Tennessee Titans fell for the hype. And I ain't gonna say hype because I ain't saying that he's horrible or anything, but the thing about it is, once you put a certain hype around a guy, you're going to be pressured to play whether you want to or not. It takes a special kind of evil to say, fuck that, I'm going to play him on my terms. And that's what we got. So, go ahead and hold on. I'm going to get this one last question. So, like Chuck here said, is Trenton Simpson the best linebacker? Is Trenton Simpson the top-rated linebacker to y'all? Hell no. They don't even know what the hell Trent Simpson is.
I don't even watch Clemson football like that.
But he has no position. Like, he literally plays everything. And like I said, so is he really a linebacker or is he a safety? Is he a corner?
He's Isaiah Simmons, is what you're trying to say.
I was just going to say, didn't they have somebody like that already?
Yes.
And what is he doing in the league now?
They don't damn know. I forgot he was even in the league. Yeah, so like I said, I can't really put him ahead of Jack Campbell. I can't put him ahead of Drew Sanders. I could put him behind those two as far as linebacker, but then you got other guys like Dorian Williams, who's kind of on the lower tier side. Ain't really that many interior linebackers in this draft that I can really say I got to have him outside of Jack Campbell and Drew Sanders. Henry Tiato, the motherfucker that got the double O's in his last name from Alabama.
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Oh yeah, Owen Popo, yeah, he's cool too. But it's just gonna be all depends on who gets drafted where. That's just with any rookie that comes out the draft. It's not so, like I said, you could be the greatest player in this draft, but if you get drafted to the wrong team that doesn't fit your skill set or fit what you do best, you're just gonna end up a footnote in the history of first round picks, second round picks that don't even make it to the second contract on the team that just drafted you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So just leave a little food for thought. Like I said, let's go ahead and play a little bit of music right here. A little calm down music. We're going to calm it down a little bit. So we appreciate everybody tuning in. Man, combo tonight. Hey, man, like I said, shout out to everybody. Shout out to Mad Mike Sports joining me as usual. And also, you got also appreciate Ford Fresh for kicking it with us, man.
Anytime, you guys, anytime. Definitely love like artists.
And like I said, if they don't know who you are, why don't you go ahead and tell them again who you is, man.
It's your boy Fresh, one of the freshest there is. We here with this Atlanta team. You get what I'm saying? Dirty Birds all day, man. Definitely.
Yes, sir. Like I said, once the word Dirty Bird Maw, then you got the Unholy Alliance NFL Draft Show. Thursday, Friday,
Saturday. Then you got the regular on Sunday.
So, yeah, we got a lineup for y'all, boy.
Boy, the lineup this year is going to be real fun. I'm going to tell you that now. Y'all might see some folks y'all ain't seen in a while. Let's just say that.
Oh, yeah.
So, until next time, people. We ain't here to play.
Oh, no.
We here to stay.
Ooh, yeah, dig it.
You ain't got to go home.
You got to get the hell up out of here.
Going to hit the rock. Whoa. Deuce. Oh, man.
Hey guys, this is your boy Mad Mike. Check us out at Mad Mike Sports on YouTube, almost at 10K. This is your boy himself, the one and only Mad Mike Sports, where we talk Atlanta Falcons Nation, Atlanta Falcons football. We talk Atlanta Hawks content. We're expanding. So you guys, if you want to be on board and just have a conversation with us, chill with us, you know, just ask us questions. You want our thoughts on the world of sports. It doesn't have to be Atlanta Falcons content. It could be wrestling. It could be basketball, baseball. We are here for you guys. Again, at Mad Mike Sports on YouTube. At Mad Mike Sports.